That's amazing. We had so much favor in the DRC, with people and going to places, and literally some of those places have never seen white people. So when we come around, they will scream at us, and the little ones will point out finger to us. And what's the word they use, Carlo? Mzungu. They would scream Mzungu, and then they will run after us and things like that. So it's really amazing. And like Carlo was saying, there's been so much destruction, so much fear in their lives. We just felt we could take some joy to the people. We could just take some comfort to them. So just being there, encouraging them. And in a sense, God gave us faith for them. Like coming back to Durban, we have to have faith for Durban. But being in the DRC, it's easy to have faith for somebody else's challenges. But when you're in your own situation, you get kind of stuck in it. I don't know if you guys know what it means. You kind of look into your situation and it becomes like your big obstacle. So it's good for us to sometimes get out of our norms and just to have an outside perspective on somebody else's situation. And God will speak to us. I must say, I haven't had so much peace as when we were traveling on Lake Kivu, from Goma to Bukavu. So I haven't seen so much peace in my life just because we were just in God's will, just doing things, and we were just so unified as a team. And it's really a blessing that comes upon unity. I want to encourage you guys in that, just in unity before God, as God would work in your life and in your relationship, especially just your friendship relationships. When you get into a place of unity, this morning while we were driving, me and Polani, we were just talking, and then we started praying. And yesterday was a bit crazy, so we were just tired and stuff. But just me and Polani praying, it just lifted my spirit so much that I felt like, okay, I can do stuff again. And that's sometimes because we're not positioned in a way to seek out God's face, sometimes we miss out on God, what God wants to do. What God said to me while we were driving yesterday as well, He said we need to stir up the gift of faith in our hearts. I always thought faith was just a gift that God gives you and then you can do big stuff. But it's like faith is something we need to stir up in our lives. Like going to the DRC, going to reach people. It's something you have to stir up in yourself. It's not going to happen naturally. And even in your life, if you need to reach out to people, in your workplace, or if you have been reaching out to your family, we need to stir ourselves up to keep on doing that and keeping on going to the next step. God is not going to force His kingdom upon us. But I just want to come back to a little thing that God showed me yesterday, just in terms of faith. And God spoke to me about being a deliverer. God is raise up deliverers all over the world. There are people crying out. Even as we were in the DRC, you got such a sense somebody needs to do something here. Somebody needs to come and help these people. Somebody needs to come and deliver them from where they are, because it's really a backward place. It's a place. There's no roads. There's no electricity. There's basic things. We were there late one night and we had to get back to the hotel, but there's not even street lights. So if you don't have a light, you cannot see where you're walking. And it's like hundreds of people walking around. That's just the norm. And you would think we've got such a simple life. And somebody, you want to say, God, somebody needs to come and help these people. Somebody needs to deliver them. And God just took me back to Moses and to his life and basically the beginning of his life. And God just reminded me of a few things. And as I was thinking of that, we also went to the genocide memorial in Rwanda. I don't know if you guys know about the Rwandan genocide. It's one of the worst genocides that's happened in the last 50 years, I think. Yeah, or it's only now 21 years ago, 94, it happened. But it is really, if you go read, and we went to the museum, if you go read what happened there, it's just ridiculous to see what happened to people and how people would turn upon each other and kill their neighbors, really. And over 1 million people were just killed in 3 months. But it just showed me something about how we should look at life. And maybe just to summarize what happened in Rwanda is the genocide came on for a long time. It was for 10 years. There was persecution between two tribes. And the one tribe, the minority tribe, a lot of the people left the country already before the genocide happened. And actually the guy that's now the president is in a minority tribe, Paul Kagame. And he and a lot of people started living in Uganda and in the neighboring countries. And what happened is when the genocide happened, there was lots of warning that it was going to happen. The United Nations knew about it. The Western world knew about it. A lot of people knew about it, but nobody did anything. It just happened unabated. The warning was there. Even the United Nations guys sent messages to the council and said, you guys have to do something. There's big trouble coming because it happened through indoctrination. There was a massive setup to kill the minority tribe, actually to exterminate them. And when it started happening, the United Nations did absolutely nothing. And this reminded me of our lives, how we kind of look at some place that we shouldn't be looking at for deliverance. And I'm going to get back to that in Moses' life. But what happened is the genocide started, and really bad things happened. Some churches, which were supposed to be safe places, housed people, and some of the priests turned against their own people, and like the whole churches was the people killed. Some other priests or church leaders, they protected their people, and they were killed for that. But what happened while the genocide happened is the people outside of the country, Paul Kagame and his party, they started gathering, and they amassed an army, and they basically came to counterattack the current leaders in the country. So God raised up kind of a deliverer from their own midst to come and rescue them. And then within a few weeks, they took back the country. And now it's under the rule of the people that were almost exterminated. They kind of rule the country now. And it's amazing, you can ask Carlos and Polani. In the DRC, the country is just so well run that you cannot believe that 21 years ago, the country was completely in a mess. What's so cool about it, there's a lot of murderers living in the country. Almost every second person murdered somebody else. But this, the reconciliation between people and the peace, and this how they could deal with the past, was this an absolute miracle. That if you think South Africa has got a rough past, imagine that every second person you meet has murdered somebody else, basically. And how they reconciled and how they still working it out. But that country, wherever you go, they're building something. Wherever you move, there's development and growth, and everybody's got a job, etc. So it's just such a godly thing that happened there. And we can look at that. And what I say to the guys is often we don't learn from our history, especially the church. In our lives, we fail to look at history. So one of the things that I a lot of times do to encourage myself in my own life is I go look at the Old Testament. I go look at what God did and the people of the Old Testament lives. And I see what is the kind of the patterns that God used in people's lives. And often our lives can be patterned on similar situations. We can get encouragement from what they did. So I'm just going to deal with a little bit of Moses' life. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures because it's going to be too long. But basically all of us know Moses' life. We all of us know kind of the basis of it. He was born in a time when Israel was where they were persecuted. It's a time where Joseph, which got in favor of Pharaoh, the current Pharaoh, forgot completely about Joseph and about what the Israelites meant in terms of a blessing for them. And they started to be persecuted by the current government or the current people in their country. So it was the people that were supposed to be a blessing got under persecution. And Moses was born when things started to get bad. And what's amazing about Moses' life, the people of God, when he was born, the people of God haven't started crying out to God yet. So God prepared for them the nation of Israel. He prepared for them a deliverer even before they cried out for a deliverer. And what for me is so amazing about that is often in our lives, and often in a nation's life, and often in any situation, God prepares the deliverance even before we ask for the deliverance. Even before we have a need to get delivered, God is already at work. So what happened in Moses' life, and this is a parallel in that, in our lives as well, before we know we need Christ, before we know we need a salvation, God sent Christ. Scripture says, while we were still sinners, Christ came to die for us. And that's often the situation that God is preparing the deliverance even before we realize we need it. And I want to encourage you that God is also preparing you for a situation that you might not know about yet, a situation of deliverance where he wants to use you. Because if you look at Israel's history, everybody that God always used was used in a sense to deliver the people, the prophets of old, David, Joseph, Abraham. If you look at all their lives, in a sense, they were forebearers of the deliverance of Christ. And in a sense, also of what God wants to do. So God is preparing us to be deliverers. And who wants to be a deliverer here? Maybe by a show of hands. Who wants to be used in the kingdom to bring deliverance? And it was so cool as Carlos just shared now, as we went to the DRC. In a sense, God would use us to deliver people from their fears, deliver people from misconception, misunderstanding of the kingdom. I want to read first Genesis 2, verse 3 to 11. And I just wanted to take a few keys just out of Moses' life. I like it when we just look at scripture and just draw from it what it says. One day Moses had grown up. He went out to his people and looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And then this section is for me so cool. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and saved them and watered the flock. When they came home to their father Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water to us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And you can see a lot of things from this piece of scripture, just about Moses' life. And as like I said before, often God prepares us through our life situation for something. But what you realize here is Moses knew that God's called him to deliver his people. And when he acted upon it initially, it caught him into a lot of trouble. And in our lives, often God calls us into things, and when we start doing the thing that God has called us, then opposition sometimes starts happening. And the persecution came from Pharaoh's own household, and also from the nation of Israel. He was an Israelite, but his own people rejected him. His own people said to him, "You are not the person that God is going to raise up. You are not the person God is going to use. Who are you to judge us?" And then what I really like about this, then Moses flees into the desert. And then the very first thing he does is he sees corruption. He sees the ladies at the well trying to get water and the people withholding them from water. And even in his hardest time, in the time of worst rejection, he acts according to his calling. Because what happens? He delivers those girls from those who have been stealing their water or forcing them not to get water. And that is the first thing that gives them favor. So often the thing that God has called us to, the thing that is our gift, is the thing that will get us into trouble, but it's that same gift that will give us favor of man. And Moses didn't act contrary to his gift. He didn't act contrary to his calling. And I want to encourage you today, if you've been called to do something, you're going to sometimes end up in trouble because of that. And sometimes with the people that God has called you to deliver. It's like interesting as we were in the DRC, how God just used Carlos to speak to the people. That's so amazing how God just raised him up to love his own people. And I think for us as well, often the people that God wants us to minister to are those people that in our past kind of rejected us. Sometimes it's our own families. Sometimes it is a group of people. Sometimes it can be a nation, depending on your background. But often God is preparing you for their deliverance and therefore their rejection. And somebody else might receive you then because of your gift. And that's where God is starting. And the cool thing, Moses goes into the desert. And you know what is so important? Sometimes the things we struggle because of what we go through in our lives, because of the calling in our lives, are completely possible that God will be using those things to prepare us for a season to follow. Because Moses went into the desert. And if you remember when Egypt was delivered, they were people that had been living 400 years in Egypt, next to the waters of Egypt. They were living in a place where they didn't know how to do desert living anymore. They didn't know how to live where there's no water, where it's difficult, where it's warm, because they had water. And they were actually doing buildings. They were not shepherds anymore, doing the things that used to be necessary in the desert. So in a sense, God is sending the deliverer before the people to prepare him to deliver the people. So to prepare him to have the skills. And if Moses didn't know how to live in a desert, if he didn't know how to watch sheep, because then it goes on how he becomes a shepherd and he gets a shepherd staff and that becomes his authority. The staff itself becomes his authority. So God sends him into a place where he equips him to be a deliverer. And that's what I was just reminded of yesterday. God is often sending us into a circumstance. You might be thinking your circumstances is ridiculous. Why am I in this place? Why am I completely out of the norm? Why am I so far away even from where I've sensed I'm calling? And it might not even be a place. It might often be a situation where you feel like you're doing maybe something completely contrary than you feel you should be doing. And I want to encourage you today, if you're doing something contrary maybe because of obedience to God, then often God is preparing you. Often God is positioning you for what is to come. I was just thinking on this mission. I grew up in a country called Namibia. I grew up amongst the people that were really quite racist. I was sharing to Carlo and Palang. Quite racist. So I grew up in a house where there was like black kids just playing across the road where they lived, and I wasn't allowed to play with them. So I only had to play by myself a lot of the time. And I so desired to go and play with those kids because every small boy wants friends. But because they were a different skin color, it was not allowed. And in a sense, I was now being there in the DRC and we're like the only white people in like a radius of kilometers. I was like thinking, how is that for strange how God works things together? It's like completely, you wouldn't predict that, even if in your wildest dreams. And like some of my best friends now, like our black people, which is just amazing. I was just saying to Polani today, he's really become a friend of mine. And the same with Carlos, and they've really become our friends. Just like, and also the people there in the DRC, you really start loving them. You realize when you spend 2 days with people and you share with their struggles, they become like family. You almost don't want to leave because you're concerned about them. You're concerned about what will happen to them. You're taking it to heart. And you almost want to go back again. You feel like, I have to go back to these people. I need to go encourage them. I need to share with them and their suffering. But just coming back then to Moses, the fact was he was a deliverer at heart. And that got him favor. And acting according to your heart and calling will position you. So I want to challenge you today, if God has called you to do something, don't compromise on that, even if it's going to lead you into suffering, even if it's going to lead you into rejection, even if it's going to lead you into a place where people don't understand. Because Moses, if the people recognize him for who he was, they would have celebrated him. If they recognize him for the fact that he's going to be God's instrument for deliverance. But then Moses goes on later and says, I cannot even speak in front of people. I've got no skill. Use somebody else. And I want to encourage you today. You might have something in your heart deep down there, and you might feel, I'm inadequate. That's not about you. It's really not about you. God is just looking for you to be authentic. Because Moses was very unskilled, unable to do his job. And then what happened in the desert as well, which I feel is so important for us being raised up as deliverers, is when you're in the desert, when you're in a time of testing, you see God's face. And it's in the desert. It's in a place of hardship with God. Like we spoke about a few months ago about Moses coming on the mountain and saying to God, I will not leave you until you show me your glory. But you know what? Moses had an experience of God's glory before he went up to the mountain. And that was in the desert. That was in the burning bush. God showed him something of himself while he was in a place of persecution, while he was in a place of suffering. And because of that, he had a priority in his life. Before his calling came the God of his calling. Before the promise came the God of the promise. And I wanna kind of hold that before us. I think often we go through a lot of heartache and heartbreak because God has got one thing at mind. He wants us to meet with him in that place. And scripture says, where we're broken and contrite, then we meet with God. He desires that brokenness and that contriteness. Then we all know how it goes on from that. We know how Moses then goes to Egypt. He goes inadequate and God starts using him. And as God starts using him, there's a lot of opposition. But I believe as well the desert prepared him to kind of not have a back door. There was no back door for Moses because of where he came from. And God actually the 12 most powerful miracles that ever occurred on the face of the earth happened through Moses, or the 10 plagues, eh? Yeah. If you think of those 10 plagues, I think they probably, all of them together, are probably the 10 most powerful things God did on the face of the earth to the one man that was completely rejected for the cause of being a deliverer. So that's what I wanted to share today. I want to share that with you today. Often, like for me, going to the DRC is, I shared it with the guys before we went. I felt, it's not like I want to go there. It's not really, it's not something I necessarily enjoy. I actually like my comforts. I like a comfortable life. I like having a shower every night. I like having good transport and safety and stuff. But it's amazing when God sends you on something that he's called you for, then that's where you find your perfect peace, like Polanyi is saying. I haven't experienced that peace this whole year as we experienced it. And it's interesting, as we came out of the DRC and we came to Kenya, like I shared earlier, where things should be peaceful, where things should be working well. That's where our flights got a bit messed up and took us all day to get things sorted out. So often our peace we will only find acting according to our calling. That's where our perfect peace will find us. So I want to finish there today. The band can come forward. Now, when I hold that before us, it's in a sense an encouragement because I've been saying similar things this year. But what God has been saying to me as we drove back this morning, he said we need to stir up our gift. And for Moses, it was to act according to his calling as a deliverer. He needed to stir up his gift. He needed to act accordingly. Wherever he went, he needed to be a deliverer, like he was with those girls at the well. He was their deliverer. He acted according to who he was. And I want to encourage you today, if God has given you a gift, if he's given you a passion, just act accordingly. And God will open doors for you. He will bring you into a situation where that gift will be appreciated and used. And then secondly, is to stir up that gift. Stir it up. God was saying to me, it's like, I need to act accordingly. God is not going to force us. And as we stir up the gift, the results might be contrary. The results might be challenging. But the reward is great, because God will do great things.